Okay, let's be honest. Let's do a few more shaylos. We'll do one more day, and tomorrow we'll do something else. B'li neder. Let's spend one more day on these interesting questions, choyshe mishpa questions. Choyshe mishpa is big, it's infinite. It's an infinite sugya. It's extremely, extremely complicated, and usually every case, every single shayla you can say this way, you can say that way. You try to compare it to what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch has a lot of Choyshe Mishpat has a lot of different examples. There are many, many, almost every single siman has another example of a case of a question, and it tells you the halacha, and look at the mefarshim, what's the reason for the halacha, and then it's splintered off into other reasons, and then when you take something that's practical, b'zman hazeh, an example, go try to figure out what would Shulchan Aruch say about this case. It gets extremely complicated. And that's why, more often than not, when people go to a bezin, the bezin attempts to make a pshara, some type of compromise based upon following what it basically says in Shulchan Aruch, and then take into account any argument that may be made that it's not exactly the same, and weighing all the variables, to come to a resolution that will be fair to both parties involved, after they have an appreciation of what the halacha is. And it doesn't mean, Peshar does not mean 50-50, Chas v'shalom, that's not what it means. You go to Bezin many times, it's 100%, you lose, finished, you owe all, you're a ganef. Sometimes it's 80-20, 90-10. You know, it's very, very complicated. Here's an interesting Shayla. This is Shayla for a rich man. Obviously, it seems like this is a real question that was asked. I'll read you what it says over here in the book. I recently received my new house from the contract. Wow, look at that, what a gevir. Person goes and gives a contract $1 million, build me a house. And what happened? The contractor owned the land and he showed me his plans for developing the land. Based on these plans, we signed the contract, including the plans as part of the contract. However, when I saw the completed house, I noticed that it was 10 meters smaller than the one I had been shown in the plans. Okay, I know of a play. I don't know what exactly it was, but they built the building, and I think they were 3 inches. The contractor, when he finished the building, you know, they got a permit from the city, all the plans, and the contractor did the whole thing, took whatever it took, and then when they finally finished, it was 3 inches over the permit. Take it down. 3 inches. You know how old that is? 3 inches? And they came to inspect, and they measured in all their modern high-tech way measuring, and they went berserk. And I think the end was they had to pay the city $100,000.
Oh my God.
$100,000 for building 3 inches. They didn't demand to take it down.
Alley Processing had a much worse situation. They asked them, they were contracted somebody to build them a place to put 1,000 pallets of merchandise, and they measured out, and they gave them the figures, and they built the building. They forgot one thing: when they hung the light fixtures from the ceiling, it cut out 250 pallets because they didn't figure in the light fixtures would make that fourth pallet impossible to load the fifth pallet. And then when they put the molding around the floor, they realized that the aisles didn't become just a couple of inches here and there. The high-low wouldn't have a turning radius in the aisle, so they had to buy a special high-low that the blades could turn sideways. Then they had a lawsuit.
That's $100,000 each high-low.
I once saw online a documentary of an airplane disaster crash. The plane landed, it crashed, and there were regular commercial jets, and it crashed, and then they had to evacuate the plane immediately, and there was a fire because the plane crashed, and many people died. And they showed the reason why people died was because the way the seats were configured at the exit.
They couldn't get out.
And it couldn't get out. They couldn't get out, and once one person trips, another person trips, it creates a
negligence.
No, it wasn't negligence, it was just, they could never have foreseen it. And they learned from that, because of that accident, from then on, every single plane that was ever built There were new standards, new understanding of, it's a matter literally a few inches, of how to configure the seats at the exit. Because if when a person is in a state of panic and you're running, and you have to get out of the exit, and the chair, the armrest of the chair is just 2-3 inches further out, person can trip in a state of panic, and once he trips, everyone is a stampede, everyone falls upon him. It's amazing what a few inches can do.
Right.
In this event, people they do construct happens all the time. You know, what looks good on paper is not the way it works out in real life. We all know that as a fact in every dimension of our lives. And the contractor here, he had a beautiful plan. Everything was approved by the city, the state, whatever it is. And halacha l'maaseh, when it came time to build, it didn't work out the way he expected. And he had no choice but to construct this structure in a way where he cut off 10 meters. Now, what do we do here?
10 meters is a lot.
That's a significant amount. You're correct, it's true. Okay.
Well, not like 10 meters. 8 or 10 meters?
I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know. When I saw the completed house, I noticed that it was 10 meters smaller than the one I had been shown in the plans. Question: can I cancel the sale and tell them to keep the house and refund my money, or am I obligated to take the house? Furthermore, if I do have to keep the house, am I at least entitled to a partial refund? Or do we say that since there is no oino by immovable goods, this person is writing the question, you should never do this. When you ask a rabbi a question, don't go tell him the halacha. These are actual questions that were sent in word for word. And that's what they do. The Bezin in this case many, many times takes the question and dissects it. Is this that you said is oino? Listen here, you don't know what it says to show. Let me explain to you what the real halacha is. This person who asked the question, since there's no oino by immovable goods, and since the difference in size is far less than 1/6, this guy who asked the question, he thinks he knows called Harakula. Oino is only when it's more than 1/6. And this is, anyway, it's karka. There's no din oino by karka. So he goes on to say, there is no oino, and I'm stuck with the house as is, without even a partial refund of my money. Okay, so again, the question over here is, the way at least it's presented, it sounds like a development in Lakewood, like one of these new developments in Lakewood where they go, the young couples, they go and they move into, they buy before it's built, and they show you a new community.
And this was the same thing.
Fine, it's very, very common, these type of situations. Yeah, that before they even build, it's like 5 years ahead. You go and you commit yourself right now and you give us a down payment, you give us a significant amount of money, you commit yourself, you're going to be getting this apartment, and if everything goes according to plan, in a couple of years, after it's built, it'll go up an enormous amount in value. So a lot of people, they're not so sophisticated to go look at the measurements, they see what it is, all of their friends are buying there, it looks good, everything looks fine and good, they go for it. This happens all the time. In Lakewood, it happens all the time. It happens in areas of struggle all the time. Even by the goyim, it can even happen. I know there are people who work in real estate. They do this. They buy land, and they show the customers what they're building, and they give it to them at a discounted price if they commit themselves now, before it's even built, before even the demolition begins, for whatever is there now, before they dig up the earth, before they lay the infrastructure. The sewers, the water pipes,
yeah,
everything.
Heteriska before you do, because it might be rivers.
Right. Oh, well, okay. Okay. Heteriska. Not talking about rivers.
Okay.
Right. That's heteriska shiloh. So yeah, everything is fine and good. And lo and behold, the day comes and you look at it. It's pretty much what you saw originally, but it's not the same. You notice that what they actually built is missing in square feet. Is missing, there's some there, it's not exactly the way that it was presented when you signed the dotted line years ago. It's not exactly what you signed the contract on.
And it's not considered standard practice for a couple other people. It's not going to match up properly.
No, I guess it's not. It's not what the contract was. You have a contract, this architect's the way it's supposed to be. What is the halacha? So, first of all, we have to understand that at least learn some yesodos. Now, there is such a halacha, if you go to the store, and you buy a bag of pretzels. Buy a bag of pretzels, and they charge you amount of money. And then you discover the amount they charge you, they rip you off. If I go to the store down the block, well, let's not talk about food. Food is different. We're talking about lumber. You go to the store, you buy some lumber. And then you realize, you come look at the bill, wait a minute, you ripped me off. It's not what people, what's not the going rate in the market? I go to this store, they charge less. You overcharged me. So the rule is, sorry buddy, I'm allowed to charge whatever I want. To say that I ripped you off, the rule is, as long as I did not charge you more than a sixth, really it's a fifth.
Right.
A fifth more than, we say a sixth, it means you take a fifth from within, you take whatever the money is, you divide it into five parts, and you add it, and now it becomes a sixth from the outside, a dollar, divided into 20 cents, add the 20 cents to the dollar, now it's a dollar 20. So the 20 cents is a sixth. So really it's a fifth. So if you go, and if I didn't charge you more than a fifth of the average going rate, gasoline today, right? Gasoline today. Right away, what's the average cost of gasoline? So this, I'm sure you go on the website, it tells you the whole America, what is they everything is computerized, and they can tell you in an instant, there are who knows how many stations where you can fill up your car. Who knows, there can be 50,000 stations across the country, and they all have it on the computer, what everyone is charging, there's an average cost of a gallon of gasoline. I go to the gas, and they charge me a crazy amount of money. They charge me more than a sixth, so more than a fifth. So then you can say, you're right, I've cheated you. Now, how does this work practically with halakha l'maisa? Exactly, it doesn't. But let's talk theoretically, or you know, so bring us some principles, or you know. I know, so you can go to Besden and say, excuse me, they ripped me off. The average cost of a gallon of gasoline is $4. And $4. I'm making up numbers. I don't know, I'm making up anymore.
It is $4.
What?
It is $4.
Okay. But let's say it's $4. That's a lot of money. That's not fair. That's going to shut down the economy. It's an incredible burden to this economy. $4. All right, we're not in politics. Let's learn. So let's say the average cost is $4, and they charge me $8. You go to Besden. I want my money back. Okay, give back the gasoline and get back your money. That's right. They cheated you. If they're allowed to charge, you're allowed to charge up to a sixth more of the going rate. That's permitted. More than a sixth, it's a mekach toos. It's invalid. Now, let's say they only charge me, let's say, a small amount. Instead of $4, they charge me $4.20. That's within the range of a fifth. I'm sorry. You wanted to pay $4.20. They have a right to charge, but they want within the range of a fifth, more than the average rate, they can do so. You have no right to negate the sale. That's called oino. Oino only exists in Shulchan Aruch when it comes to metalkin, movable property. Gasoline, lumber, in many instances, food, books, chairs, tables, metalkin. When it comes to karka, earth. When it comes to karka is not subject to oino. Just because maybe you said, what is the average going rate to buy a house on this block? Let's say the average price is $1 million. And I didn't even pay attention. And someone said, you want the house? $2 million. $2 million, you cheated me. The average rate for a house of this type of house on this neighborhood, on this block, all the other homes are being sold for $1 million. You charged me $2 million. Buddy, when it comes to karka, when it comes to immovable property, karka, there's no din oino. Whatever you'll pay, that's the rule. Oino is only when it comes to metalin. Karka, location. Whatever you're willing to pay, it's valuable to you. That's the halacha. It's gezeres hakasev. Not exactly sure of the reason, the source, but that is the halacha. There's no such din of oino. Now, let's go back now to building a house. Building a house, first of all, is that called karka? You go and you sign, the developer comes to you and says, we're building a community, a development in Lakewood, in this community in Jackson. We're knocking down this whole large area. We're going to build 50 homes. Do you want to be part of this new community? Do you want to be? Yes, I do. Okay? This is how much we're charging. $500,000. No, that's a lot of money. $100,000. Put $100,000, whatever it is. It's a great deal. In 10 years from now, it'll be worth $1 million. And very likely, if everything in the world is still in existence, and everything in the world is okay, al derech hatev, it will be worth. It's a great. Okay, fine. Give you put down. You put down the deposit. You put down whatever it is. You put down the full value what they want from you. Now, what do they have to do? Well, number one, you've purchased land. Okay, so that parcel of land will now become your property. Number two, part of the deal is they're going to build you a house. That's a lot of work. Okay, it's a lot of work. They have to bring down contractors. They have to bring down, do an enormous amount of work to get that house up and going. For them, it's a little bit cheaper because they're building 50 of them. So the people that they work with, you would build a house yourself, it would cost a fortune. But now that they have a developer that's building 50 of them, so the workers are there, everything is, you know, prefabricated and v'chulu, it's easy for them to do and find. What are they doing for you? So in the modern world, there are two things that are happening. Number one, you're buying land. Number two, you're paying money for a service. For a service.
You're also paying that service per square foot. Especially if you're dealing with...
You're buying land and you're paying for a service.
Your house and the insurance company came down with the appraiser, how much does it cost to rebuild? He goes, you have X amount of square foot of sheetrock, you have X amount of square foot of the roof.
Right. Okay, you have to see how it's structured. The way he presents it here, you have to see how the contract is structured.
And look, even if you buy a co-op in Manhattan, they're selling you per square foot.
Where
you rent office space in Manhattan, or even Brooklyn, you're paying square footage.
Okay, I hear. Okay, so let's discuss some of the issues. Okay, so Enochram, you have to analyze exactly the way it is structured. How exactly you're structuring this. You have to structure the deal. Enochram, so let's at least get some of the principles. So as far as the karka, you are correct. As far as the earth that you are going to possess, you're going to own that piece of land. Because ultimately, when the construction is over, if you don't like what the contractor built, you can knock it down and you can build another house. You can knock it out, and you have to see if that the contract allows for that. But theoretically speaking, I don't know, you know, you have to, what are the rules? You don't want your house to look, in certain developments, they want there to be a degree of uniformity. Everyone's house should look the same. A lot of, you know, Lakewood now, it's not popular anymore to build developments. Now they just sell land, and you go build a house yourself. People don't like living in carbon copies of the next door neighbor.
Right.
People want a little bit more of a.
But
I know,
it's cheaper that way.
It's cheaper that way, right? But people, yeah, and also it's a big headache to go get a contract yourself to go do it yourself. I know in Beis Shemesh, my brother used to live in Beis Shemesh Beis, Ramat Beis, and he moved to Gimel. He flipped his house to go to Gimel because where he lived became very Hasidish, extremely heavily Hasidish. So he moved to more of a leadership place. So when they built Gimel, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, Ramat Shemesh, Beis Shemesh, Ramat Beis, if you close your eyes and you walk a few blocks, you don't know where you are. Every single block looks like a carbon copy of the next. It was the whole Ramat Shemesh Beis was built by one developer. The whole place, every single building is exactly the same. And you close your eyes, where am I? Because they all look the same. It's like a scene out of the Twilight Zone.
You have it here for you.
Okay?
Some
right, right.
Seven houses in a row.
So when they build Gimel, like when they build Gimel, it's already a while. Gimel already is there probably 5 years at least.
Yeah.
More than they build Gimel, the rule was no two buildings are the same. And they gave out to many contractors. They put up, when they build the building, there's not one developer, hundreds and hundreds, but many. Everyone do your own thing. We don't want this to be like Bayes, where you close your eyes and you're in the Twilight Zone. Everyone, every block, every building, there are no private houses, there's only apartment buildings. Every building should be unique, should be different. I know some contractors don't know what they're doing, and the ceilings are leaking like crazy. And some of them are very clever. They know how to build. Everyone, you know, there's a mile in the chasar. You know, everything has a mile in the chasar. But Taka, you go to Gimel, and that's right. You walk down the block. That's right. Oh, look at this building. Look at this building. Every building has its own character. So I don't know what the rules are in this story. But if a developer comes to you, I want to sell you a house, and it's not yet built. And then when he builds it, you don't like it. Can you demolish it and rebuild it? There are certain rules. Sometimes they don't let you do it. You just can't demolish it. If you don't like the way it looks, too bad for you. You have to keep...
demolish the question, do you get it for free?
No, I don't even know if you can demolish it because it's going to ruin the design. But let's assume now for the moment that we're doing for you, many developers are doing for you two things. Number one, we're giving you land. You're going to own this plot of land. Number two, we're going to build a house for you. You don't have to worry about it. We're going to take care of it. Come back in 2 years, you're going to have a house. We're going to show you all the plans. We have all the artwork. We have everything over here. We have exactly the dimensions. We're going to show you what the whole neighborhood looks like. Come back in 2 years, everything is going to be done for you. It'll be for you. I'm a chayah. You don't have to deal with the contracts, with permits, with nothing. You'll be able to move in. The projected date that you're going to move in is on Pesach in 2 years from now. It'll be given to you on a silver platter. Wonderful. You come there 2 years later. The land is yours. The house, it's exactly what you presented me, but I don't like it. I don't like the way it looks. So you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to knock it down. And I'm going to build my own house in the same. Gesundheit! Do whatever you want. So in essence, what has the contractor done for you, the developer has done for you? He's done for you two things. He gave you a piece of land, and he did a service. He did a service by building for you a structure. And this is all put into one lump sum of a certain amount of money for the land and for the service of building a home for you. As far as the land is concerned, there's no oinah. If he overcharged you for the plot of land, and you have to break it up. Everything over here, you have to go all the nitty gritty. What does it say in the contract? Does the contract differentiate between the land and the house? You got to be very careful how you structure the sale. What is the assumption? How do people look at it? That's why in Bezdin everything gets very ugly. Because a lot of these things, usually they're not specified in paper, in writing, and everyone, I assume this. I didn't assume anything. I didn't even think. So then what do you do then? You have to go ask the person, take a poll. Well, if you were building a house, what was your assumption? And that's why you get into big, ugly machlekes when things don't work out the way you like. And then you have to go in business and make a pshara based upon a fair assessment of the situation because the details were not specified in the original contract. But in general, there isn't an argument to be made that in these type of situations, you're buying land and you're paying for a service. As far as land is concerned, guess what? If you overpaid, too bad for you. There's no when it comes to karka. But there's also a service. There's a service being provided. And when it comes to a service, there is oino. You can't go charge a person more than what the going rate is if it's ridiculous. There's a service. There's a certain amount, and there are rules in halacha. I don't know what they do in court, in secular court, but in halacha, there's a certain. And guess what? You didn't provide me what you were supposed to provide me with. You provided me with a service that was not what I expected. So there's a very important rule. Even though generally when it comes to products and when it comes to services, there is oino. If something, a product, is specified in measurements, there is, you're entitled to cancel the sale. Even if you're off by less than the din oino. Thus, Bezdin Paskens, something shocking here. If the contractor told you how many square feet the house is, and they provided you with less than it says in the contract, even if the amount that's less is less than 1/6, and even if you're gonna say that it's a service. Because the contractor is looking for his. He'll say this is not land. You can't say that it's land. It's not land. It's service. So service. This oino. So listen, I made a mistake. I gave you less than what I'm supposed to give you. So it's less than 1/6. You can't cancel the sale. I'll give you a refund for the mistake. But you cannot cancel the sale. When it comes to the din of oino, if the seller or the service provider gives you less than what you were supposed to get, the buyer or the person being serviced cannot cancel the entire. You're not allowed.
There is an industry standard.
Measurements. Exactly. Exactly.
When a builder is building, he'll come into situations that he could predict before you.
Okay, so let's assume Dina de Malchus Dina. Okay, so you're getting involved in if there is such a thing. Let's assume that in this case there is not. Let's assume that in this instance, for the sake of simple, just to bring out the principle, You're right. That's why every single case, you can't, there's not really enough information the way this question was presented in order to have a, understand what's going on over here, if they would go to Besen. And as you know, in real life, a lot of these questions, it's not even worth it to go fight with the person many times. You just, unfortunately, the realities of life are you have to either take the loss, you have to take the losses. Or you realize a lot of money, then you attack and go to Besen. And many times Besen will tell you, you know, we're not equipped to deal with this, go to court. Go to court. We can't deal with this. It's too complicated. You're dealing with very tough people, very, very difficult people. They don't want to cooperate. So in the world, yeah. So then Besen gives you permission. They give you permission to go to court. So in the real world, when you're dealing with big money and you're dealing with difficult people, the Beis Din is very, very limited, and the end is you're going to go to court. Once you go to court, there's no halacha. Go to court, it's all about the law. The law, follow the law. It's about the science and the law. And everything's out of your control. What are the codes? But if you're dealing with erlicha people, which is very rare to have these erlicha people, you have a firm person, from people, and they really want to do what is halakhically correct. These are very complicated issues. And usually the maskan is very shocking in the contrast of how it would have been decided had they gone to secular court. And what are the issues? So one of the issues presented here is the sugya of oino. There is no oino when it comes to karka. When it comes to movable objects, if the mistake is less than 1/6, really a fifth, then the rule is you have no right to cancel the transaction.
What's a little translation of
wrongdoing? Wrongdoing. Wrongdoing. You have no right to cancel the sale. You can't say to the seller, I want all my money back, and you go now sell it to someone else. You can't do that. The seller says, I'm not giving you back your deposit, and you owe me more money, give me the balance. He wins. However, if he's not giving you what he promised you, you have a right for a refund, a partial reduction of the original price. Relative, you have to make a calculation. If this was the price for X amount of square feet, and I'm only delivering you this amount of square feet or this, you have to make a reasonable evaluation of how much you would cheat and that you're entitled to get a refund for. But you don't get a refund for the entire, you can't cancel the sale. You can't cancel. However, if the service or if the product is defined in measurements, I ordered a dining room table that's supposed to be 5 feet and you gave me 4 feet and 10 inches. So the difference between 4 feet and 10 inches is only 2 inches and 5 feet, it's only 2 inches. So the seller delivers it. The seller delivers the table. And now you take out the tape measure, it's 4 feet, 10 inches. In the contract, it says the length of the table is 5 feet. You're off by 2 inches. Get your workers back here, get the truck here, get your workers, get the table back to the factory, and give me back every penny that I have. So the seller says, listen, it's only 2 inches. 2 inches is less than oino. I'll give you back, you paid $1,000, I'll give you back $100. I'm not giving you back your deposit, and I'm gonna, and you give me whatever you owe me, I'll give you off $100. So the rule is, sorry, buddy. It says in the contract 5 feet. This is 4 feet and 10 inches. This is not subject to oino. The sale is canceled. Give me back all of my money and take away your table. Oino is only when it comes to evaluation. How much does it cost to buy? You show the here is the table. You measure it. You make all your calculations. And I'm selling it to you for a certain amount of money. And then you, when you take this to a professional evaluator and you go out into the market and see what it's really worth, you discover that he cheated you. He charged you more than a sixth. That is oino. Oino is a din in evaluating the worth of property. How much does it cost to provide a service? How much does a, what is the going rate to provide, you want to go take pictures, you're a photographer. How much do people charge to take pictures at a wedding? How much do they charge? What's the going rate? The going rate. Now there are people that have a reputation, you have to deal with something that is very standard. There are professionals. This one, he knows how to turn your head just like this, so the picture comes out that much better. That's different.
Without you noticing that he did it to you.
Oh, exactly. There are certain things, but when you're dealing with very standard, objective things, there's a going rate, then there's a question of how you evaluate the service, how you evaluate the product. No, you're entitled to a charge a little bit more, but you can't rip a guy off. Once you go to a certain rate already, all right, that's called doina, then the person can cancel the sale entirely and get back his deposit. But if it's less than a certain range, no, you're not getting back. You signed the contract, you gave a deposit, you owe money, you got to pay up the rest of the money. You're entitled to get a discount because it's not fair. It's not fair what we have done to you. That has to also be defined. But that's not relevant for us. What's relevant for us is any time you get involved in something where there's a measurement involved, there's a measurement. It says in the contract that this house is this number of square feet, this number of meters, whatever calculation, whatever measurement you want to use. And the end of the day is you have provided less than a measure. It's a wonderful thing when you deal with business is always to put things in numbers. When you put something in numbers and then you're cheated, you win.
So
when you leave,
the contractor says, I'm giving you a 5-hour shoot of video or 500 pictures, and he comes up with only
then you win. Exactly.
You can just cancel
that's
the whole thing.
Cancel the whole thing. Exactly.
Call
Dover Shalita.
You don't have any pictures.
Oina is very, very limited. The sugya of Oina, people make this mistake all the time. There's no din Oina when it comes to karaka. If you pay $2 million for a house, then everyone else on the block only pay $1 million for, that's your problem. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. We can't help you. There's no I know when it comes to karaka. When it comes to metaltalin, if you go buy a table, and the table you have a custom made table, the table's supposed to be 5 feet, and they only give you 4 feet and 11 inches. 1 inch, even a centimeter. Kol davar shebemida v'shebeminyan, there's no oina. It says 5 feet, you didn't give me 5 feet, the sale is canceled, I want back all of my money, you win. Now, if you're dealing with a bully, you know, sometimes, obviously, you know, the real world doesn't know, does not so sweet. Oh, it's 1 inch off. The guy will say to you, I don't care, it's 1 inch off. I'm not coming to pick it up. Too bad for you. You want to go to court? You want to go take it to best and go spend a couple of days fighting about this? Sometimes you have to cut your losses. But in halacha, you win. That's the end of the day.
But it could be industry standard. Like, even though it's 4 letters.
That din de malchus dina, is there such a thing? If you're going to go to court already, then you're getting involved. When you want to, not everything is subject to din de malchus dina. Din de malchus dina is an extremely complicated sugya,
right,
of when you get involved. You're dealing with from people, the first thing you do is, in these type of things, and when you're dealing with metaltalin, is halacha. When that goes sour, then you have no choice but to go to the malchus dina.
What is mekach tov? What is that?
What?
What is mekach tov?
Cancellation.
No, I'm saying...
When is it considered?
When do you say, like saying, I know, and...
If it's more than a fifth, then it's mekach tov.
So that's called mekach tov?
Yes. And if it's less than a fifth, but it was defined in measurement, mekach tov. So in this case, the person who bought this house is entitled, according to halacha, to say to the developer, I want all my money back, take your house. I paid for a house on paper that was supposed to be 10 meter, whatever the show was supposed to be, bigger. And don't go tell me, oh, when I did the construction.
But he could say to you, it was $70,000 for the land and $30,000 for the house. So I'm giving you back your $30,000. You're right, I can cancel the sale, take back your house, but I'm not taking.
So here's the problem. Did it say that in the contract? So you're going to go to Besdin. So what is the debtor going to say? Oh no, we got a problem here. This is his claim. So he'll say, that's not what I thought. So let's go. What does the average person think? Go take a poll. This. You can azoy. You'll find the choice like this and the seamus like this. This is where it's called arbitration. where the Bezdin has to make a fair assessment of is that the way it really works? Is that what the person you shemazels? You should have wrote every single thing down in the contract and read the contract, so when it comes something like this, we have guidelines. So now we know guidelines. So what are we doing over here? So that's where it comes into play. Pshara. Okay, let's go to another example. I want to do comments on the ground. Another good shaila. This is a very common shaila, very interesting shaila, real shaila. It's a story. There were a bunch of young adults who went to Eretz Yisrael, and they found themselves in the place Erev Shabbos, and the time was running out, and they had to get back to their yeshiva, the seminary. They had to get back to the Shabbos. And lo and behold, they went here, there, and they realized, yeah, we don't got enough time to get back. So we got to go right away. And they go out to get a taxi, and guess what? There aren't so many taxis available. And finally, they flag down one taxi, and the taxi driver says, listen, no, I'll take you, but I don't really want to go there now. It's Erev Shabbos, this, that. I'll only take you if you'll pay me a crazy amount of money. And they look at each other and they realize, you know, ordinarily, how much would it cost to go? It would cost a fraction of the price. Let's say it costs $20. And now because of this, so the tax driver says, you know, $100. Yeah, it's like $100. Maybe there's also a lot of variables over here. I want to take you $100.
There's no other taxi around.
A lot of these questions are very problematic because they're not giving you all the details.
Is that extortion or not?
They look at each other, they say, you know, we don't have a choice. It is extortion, right? So they get in the taxi and they go. And they come to the place.
And they gave him
$20. And no, they gave him $100. And they took his number. Then they go to the rabbi. And they say to the rabbi, they send in this question, rabbi, you know, we were stuck. And he wanted to take us only for $100, and we gave him $100. Could we have tricked him and got in the taxi, and we'll pay him $30? It normally costs $20. Could we have just paid him $30 and say to him, get lost? Get lost. It only costs $20 to go. You took advantage
of
us.
It's Erev Shabbos.
So it's Erev Shabbos, whatever it was.
Why should he suffer?
He didn't have to suffer. He didn't suffer. He was able to get home plenty of time.
He didn't suffer. To make more money.
He just took advantage. He took advantage of the situation. So this bad sentence is a Gemara. The Gemara is not easy. The problem is everything you want to do, the first thing you do is you learn a lot of lessons from the Sefer. And I love this Sefer because he presents so many Yisoides, and he also shows you how to paskin. The first thing you do is when you have a shy like this, this word. Every single shayla, the whole mamash, like 100, 200 questions just like this. First thing you do is, you gotta know the whole Shulchan Aruch on your fingers. And you have to find another case that's similar. You can't just go, they're doing the secular court. Secular court, what happens? They have a question. Roe versus Wade. Abortion. Oh, let's see what the Kadmonim, let's see what our predecessors.
Precedents,
legal precedents. So you got to find the first thing you do whenever you have a she'el in Shulchan Aruch. Don't just start making up halachas. Oh, there's a ketzois and nesivis. The first thing you do is you find a case in Shulchan Aruch that's as similar as you possibly can. That's the Ersh Tazach. And then that becomes your baseline.
And then find out what's different from it.
Oh, exactly. And if it's a chiluk, that's mechalik. If the difference made, that's how you do halach in choshe mishpat. Choshe mishpat is not unique because I don't know if you say this in your day. You don't have that same idea in your day in Arachayim. Or your Arachayim, it's halacha. In choshe mishpat, this alone is worth the price of admission for the sefer. Is you have a question, the first thing is, let us go through every Siman Shulchan Aruch and find a case that's similar. And then we'll extrapolate. So indeed, we have a case that's similar. What is the case? There was a ma'is in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about a case where a person was running for his life. He was in Sakana. He was about to die. Let me tell you the case. And he needs to get across the river. He needs a ferry. It's a famous Gemara. in Masechet Yevamot Bava Kamma Kuf Te Zayin Yevamot Kuf Vav. The Gemara discusses a fugitive. Okay, we're not talking about whatever the person was in jail, and they're coming to kill him, and he has to cross the Verizano. he has to cross the body of water, and there's a ferryman, and he says, I gotta go. They come, they're gonna catch me, take me across. So the guy, listen, it's my lunch break now. I don't want to take now. Now I'm off. It's a legal holiday today. I'll only take you across the river if you'll pay me a crazy amount of money. Okay, fine. Okay, so he commits himself. He gets into the boat. They cross the water. And how much does this trip normally cost?
$5.
He gives him $5.95. Have a nice day. The guy takes him to Besdin. And Besdin says, you don't get the money. He gave you $5.95. Done. Why? Oh, so the question, that's the halach. That's all it says in the Gemara. You have no right, you have extortion, Mr. Merulis, extortion. What do you do for a living? I take people across the river. No, it's my lunch break. So it's your lunch break. This is how much, this is what you charge for the service. You're now taking advantage, you don't want to go do it, he's desperate. You can't do that. He tricked you. So too bad he tricked you. He was desperate. The halacha is you only get the $5. Now, by the way, though, this is a very important halacha, though. Let's say the person gave him $100.
Then you've got a problem.
Then you don't get your money back.
Pull down the vine.
That's why it's once already you gave the money.
And accepted it.
And he accepted it, you can't get it back. You cannot get it back. Because that's what he wanted. And we assume if you gave it to him, you gave it to him, Beratzen. You gave him a gift. You appreciated that he went out of his way. He didn't want to do it. If you give him the money, you're finished. There's no going to Bezin to get your money back.
That's
once you give it.
In the first case, they shouldn't have paid it.
Exactly. In the first case, no,
the
but there also, it's not, they were
in advance.
Okay, so.
I had a real case just like this.
Okay, let's just have the halacha. So in that case, the Gemara says explicitly, you do not have to pay more than $5.95. He doesn't get the crazy amount of money. The shayla is, in this case over here, is it the same? When these kids, they weren't in Sakana. He's not telling us all of the details what happened in this case. There, the person who's the ferryman, who's Jewish, he's Jewish, he knew the case there was, he knows he's running for his life. Thus, he has a mitzvah of lo samoid al dam reyecha. The Torah, there's a mitzvah of the Torah. Lo samoid al dam reyecha. Your friend is at risk, he's in sakana, he needs your help. You have a mitzvah to help him. And you can help him. And this is when you're parnasi, and you're getting paid. You want to go take advantage and go charge him $100? That's awesome. You have no right. These kids, okay, they went sightseeing, they went to the Kaisel, they got to get back to Beis Shemesh, it's getting late. Is there a mitzvah of Leisam al Dam Reyecha? No, there's not. They're not. Don't worry. You have to know what the situation is. It's hard to evaluate what the situation is from the way the story is presented. And let's make they have where to go. They'll find a way. They'll have where to go. They have friends and family. They'll have a very good Shabbos. They'll stay here. They'll go. They'll have where to go. They're not. Then the world's not going to come to the end for them. They'll call up the seminary, the yeshiva. They'll tell them exactly what to do. Don't worry. They're not in Sakana. Are there other people? Now here's the other question. Are there other people out there that charge this amount of money? Okay, are there other amount of people? Is it really unusual to charge this amount of money for this type of thing? Does it ever happen that a person charged this crazy amount of money? No. The amount of money that this guy wanted was totally outrageous. It was totally outrageous. And therefore, he basically paskins that they could have done it. These students, because these students, if they want, he basically says that even though it's not exactly, look at the style of how they're paskining. They're taking over here the most similar case that they can find, which is the case of Sakonis Nefashos. And in that case, paskin, you're not mechuyif to pay more than $5.95 in that case. But this case, not Sakonis Nefashos. So you can argue, if it's not Sakonis Nefashos, you want me to do something now, I have no obligation to do this. And you want me to go out of my way and do for you something which is very unusual, I'll only do it for a crazy amount of money. as a service. So you would argue, oh, it's not the same, like the crossing the bridge, the fugitive. Right? No, it is the same. It is the same. It's a very nice chiluk. It's a chiluk that is not mechalek. It's a difference that does not change the halacha. That's how you got. That's how you pasca. The teaching way of pasca halacha. The bottom line is, no one out there charges this kind of crazy money to take someone from this location to that location. Oh, but it's unusual circumstances because of it's late in the day. That doesn't matter. Are you in Sakana now? No. You're not in Sakana now. If you're not going to go with this guy, you'll find a place that you'll find, the situation is such, you have somewhere to go. What am I doing for you? I'm doing for you a service. I'm doing for you the service that I ordinarily do anyway for everyone. This is what my parnasa is. My parnasa is I take people from here to there. There's plenty of time for me to get back to where I need to go back. I'm just not interested now. I'm tired. The day is over. I'm not interested. But this is what I do for a living. I'm a taxi driver. I take people. There's a certain code of conduct amongst the taxis. They have meters, even though they all violate the rules every single day. There's a certain rule. You're a taxi driver. You have on your car it says taxi. You have a meter inside. You have a license. What do you do for a living? I take people from here to there. I'm not in the mood. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. Shabbos is going to be soon. You want me to do you the favor? You know what? I'll charge you a crazy amount of money. That's not the way you do. That's not Shulchan Aruch. That's not Shulchan Aruch. This is a taxi. This is what you do for a living. Who do you know likes what they do for a living? I don't know anyone who knows that they like to just earn money. Okay, this is you. You want to go charge a little bit more? Okay, a little bit more. To go charge an amount of money that no one else would charge under normal circumstances, a crazy amount of money? You're not going to do that. What?
Can he turn down a job?
Yes.
Yeah, he can turn down a job. Yes, he can. Absolutely. But you know, you're not allowed to turn down the job, legally.
Legally, because you said you're schlank to Beit Shemesh.
Once you get in the taxi.
It's a loan.
Within the city, he can't turn it down. If his light is on, he's got to take it.
Okay, but that's part of the equation. Fine. But that's part of the equation. This is what you do for a living. You're not in the mood, and you're taking advantage of people. You can, so the halach is, okay, take for $100, here, take us.
Have a twist of this.
And now, when you get there, here, how much does it normally cost? $20? Here's $30. Have a nice day. And he can scream all he wants. That's the best pass. I'm not making the best pass. That's the halacha. And where's our precedent? Where's the makar for the halacha? The makar is the Gemara, Bava Kamma. A person is running away from jail. They're coming to kill him. And he says, take me across the... You're a ferryman. This is what you do for a living. Take me across. I'm not in the mood. I'll do it for you for $1,000. Okay, fine, $1,000. So the Gemara there says, you only have to pay him what it ordinarily costs. Oh, you want to be mechalek between the kids over here in this story and the case because there is pikuach nefesh? Nice try, but no cigar. The significance and the difference between the two cases, the Beis Dalia says, is not a significant difference. You don't have to pay the taxi driver more than what it ordinarily costs, because if he is a taxi and this is parnasa and you're not doing anything unusual and he's just taking advantage of you and you are desperate, because right now it's getting late in the day, I'm desperate, and you want to basically lie. You're lying over here. You're committing yourself to pay a crazy amount of money, which is totally outrageous. So you're lying because you're in a desperate situation. It's very uncomfortable for you to be. And this is what the taxi driver is anyway does for a living. And anyway not causing him any unusual inconvenience because this is what he's supposed to be doing. And again, the circumstances. That's it. And you arrive there on the scene and you give all you mechuyev to give him is what he ordinarily charge. If you want to make him happy, not to make, so you give him a little bit more. A little nice tip. And then you agree to $100, get lost. Get lost. We were desperate, so we had no choice. We didn't do anything crazy. We didn't do anything crazy to do. But let's say these kids, what did they do? They gave him the $100. and they took down his license plate, his phone number, and his ID number. And then they go. They call the rabbi. So can we call him up now and get a refund? Demand the refund? Too late. Once you gave him the money, it shows that you were masking to this transaction. Okay, let me tell you one last case, and then one last case, and that is, I like this case, because this case always happens all too often. Go to the mikvah. So today, all the mikvahs today are all computerized. Okay? Put your card in, everything is high tech today. You put your card in, credit card, you go into the mikvah. This happened 2 weeks ago. Go to the mikvah, credit card, walk to the mikvah. The mikvah is cold. The boiler has broke. So the mikvah is ice cold. It's ice cold, or it's lukewarm, whatever.
It didn't meet your expectations.
Exactly. Or guess what? The shower is not cold. It did not meet your expectation. I'm already buzzed in. So now can I go and can I demand a refund?
Don't worry, they won't give it. Did you go into
the mikvah
now?
What?
Did you use
the mikvah? Yeah, let's say use
the mikvah. Forget it. You're not
going to that. So this Shaila is an incredible Shaila. They really go to town in this Shaila. I mean, this Shaila, you really can't generalize. The way the Shaila here is presented is not the way I asked the question. The way the Shaila was presented is very different because the case was a person pays a monthly fee for the mikvah. A monthly fee. Okay, so you pay a monthly, get a discount. I pay for the whole month. The car, I pay, you know, in Eretz Yisrael is very popular. In America, it's not like this so much. In Eretz Yisrael, you get a card. They go to the mikvah all the time in Eretz Yisrael. So they have a card, you pay a monthly fee, you can swipe it in the million times, it lets you, like on the bus. Like, you know, you go on the bus.
Once or twice a day, max.
In the city,
here
the crowd. But there,
no, I'm saying the big thing is once or Fridays twice. The card won't work.
Okay, won't work. Okay, it depends. Okay, fine. Okay, fine.
Because otherwise you'd be giving it to all your friends.
Or your friend. Okay. They probably will also. So you pay a monthly fee. So basically, he says a tremendous chesh. He says when you pay a monthly fee, you don't get a refund. Because you pay a monthly fee, it has the din. Then he goes into a long analysis. What exactly are you paying for? When you go to the mikvah, you're not signing contracts when you sign up with these cards. What are you paying for? Well, I'm paying to go to the mikvah. It's very expensive to build a mikvah. They invest an enormous amount of money to build a nice mikvah. You want it to be hot also. You want a shower? You want a towel?
You want water?
You want what do you want? What do you think this is over here? What exactly are you paying for? Now, by the way, is this called a rental? Is this a rental? When you go and you buy that car, are you renting the facility? Or are you buying, what about the water that comes out of the shower? Are you buying that water? That water is not reusable. The water that goes down the sewer is not reusable.
Oh, yeah.
What exactly are you doing over here?
You're not getting a refund for a quick
shower. It's an incredibly complex case. And probably every mikvah and every situation is different. Basically, the variables are, is this a monthly serve fee are you paying for, or is this a one-time shot, a one-time deal you go into the mikvah? What exactly is included in the price? Is it just going into the mikvah, or is it the shower? Is it the heat of the mikvah? What do you expect? So basically, it comes out that once you already swipe your card, you're not getting your money back so quick.
You're not getting your money back if you didn't go today either.
What?
You're not getting your money back if you didn't go today, if it's a monthly card.
Right.
If it's a monthly card, then basically you're for sure getting nothing.
I got corona and I didn't go the whole month.
You're for sure getting nothing. If it's a one-time thing, now he makes the question even more complicated in this situation where a lot of the money machines, you can put in a $20 bill and it gives you change. There's such shemazels. Not only is the water, there's no hot water, and there's no towel. The change machine gives you back too much.
Then you gotta return.
Oh, now I'm the machzik. Now, if you messed last week when I went to the mikvah, there was no hot water.
You want to take that money?
When I went to the mikvah last week, I got a cold shower. A cold shower and a cold mikvah. So this week, This week, and I put the card and I put in cash. I put in a $5 bill. It gave me back $10. Profit. Good business. I put in a $5 bill and it came out of the machine $10. Oh, refund for last week. What's the halach? Can I keep the money?
No way. From other cases.
What?
No way.
Why not?
No way, because one has nothing to do with the other.
So he's, the way, if I'm not, if this is a rental, you can't keep them. If this is a monthly service, if you pay a monthly service, you can't. But if it's a one-shot deal, you can keep the money.
Why?
Because they cheated you last week.
They didn't cheat you last week.
They did cheat you.
Your expectations were off.
That the what you're paying for today, what is the standard person thing? Would you tell me? Would you come to this mikvah? How do you know? That's the defining point. Would you have gone to this mikvah? You know that it's cold this week. No, you wouldn't. Once I'm heel ready, I'll go. I'll kiddush Hashem. I'll go into the cold mikvah. If you know in advance when you walk out of your house, and I know this mikvah is cold. So this week, I'm not going to go. I'll go to a different mikvah. Right. Plenty of mikvahs. Once already, I went into the mikvah, and now I discover that
and
it's cold.
So
you know what? I'll go. It's cold. It's okay. It's cold. But would I have gone here l'chatchila? No, I would not. So what? I already used it. Okay, so if you already gave the money, you're not getting it back. But let's say the machine at some later point in time, or let's say one day you come to the mikvah, and guess what? The door's open. The door's open. Like when you go, you swipe your card. So just walk behind the guy behind you. When the guy comes out, you go in. Last week, I paid for the mikvah, and it was cold. So this week, when I come to the mikvah, I'm not going to put my card in to be buzzed in. I'll just wait 5 minutes, and someone will come out. When he comes in, I'll just go in for free. I'll go in for free. I'll take the law into my own hand. I'll be a vigilante. Can you do that?
Again. What was really the right thing back then? Could I have got my money back, or should I not have got my money back? Did I not get it? If you're saying I went into the cold mikvah and I can go and say, listen, I went to a cold.
I don't know. It's very complicated. I don't know the answer. I don't know the. It's too complicated, and it seems there are too many variables. There are too many variables that make the question too complicated. Would you have gone here l'chatchila? Some people say, I'll go. I don't care. I'll go. It's not kedai for me to go to another mikvah. This is what I do every week. I know the mahalach. It's a little cold. So it's cold. So I'll go cold mikvah. You have to make the determination. Number two, is this a monthly service or is it a one-by-one? If it's a monthly service, then you're like a renter. Then you're going to lose for sure. If it's every single time you pay one at a time, then it's a different set of rules. Number three, who's the machzik? Who has the money? You already pay? You get the money back. Who's the machzik? If you're the machzik, then you're the al yoyna. All right, we'll stop over here. Mark, what do you want to say, Mark? You had an idea?
No, yeah.
All right, it's very late. I'm going to cash you. I'm going to talk to the Zakis. I'm going to talk to the Zakis. I'm going to talk to the Zakis. I'm going to talk to the
In all these cases where they say that all these young people are going to get paid money back,
how you doing?
But aren't they violating so they're not even violating that? Let's pretend they say we're shopping for Shabbos, and when they get to the store, they don't